So, yeah. Well, you can put up the first slide. I've got all my junk here. I think I might have fewer notes than Katie had. But I'm going to talk a lot longer. There's no breakouts. So Nathan said, whatever the, you know, whatever God gives you to however long you want to go. And I thought, well, I better not. But we'll try to be out of here pretty soon, within 2 hours, no problem. Okay, that's the Epperlys. That's what we look like now. This is what we call a successful family photo, with everybody's looking toward the camera. Well, almost everyone's looking towards the camera. This was when we were in Colorado attending the DAR program, the debrief and renewal seminar that we went to. I've been to Colorado before, but it when we were there, we thought, this is definitely a different country. And this took place at the Garden of the Gods, is where we're at in this photo. So Carrie is my wife there. She's also in the photo, my only wife. But I have 7 kids now. 2 of them were born out on the farm, out in Ed's, plantation out there, or whatever you call it. Michaela is our oldest. She's now 19. Where are you? Oh, there you are, right in the middle. She's embarrassed by that photo, so don't look at her too closely. She is now 19, working at the grocery store, so maybe you've run into her there. She loves music, plays piano. She loves art. She draws and paints and creates and photographs and all that stuff. Let's see, who is next? Elijah, our one and only son. Elijah, where'd he go? Oh, there he is. You were hiding. He's 14. 15. How old are you? 15. And he is, he loves Star Wars. He loves collecting stuff. So he's a collector, but he keeps, he keeps his collections in really good order, like a proper young man. Anyway, who's next? Oh, Juliana. Juliana loves mirrors. She does. She's like always fixing up and changing her clothes 3 times a day or something. And she loves to go to the pool, not to really go in the pool, but to get ready to go to the pool. And gosh, if she could bring 3 swimsuits to the pool, she would do that. But we try to keep her down to 2 swimsuits. Lydia. Lydia's the next one. Lydia is our strong and just smart and very athletic and sporty, but actually the most clumsiest one in our family. So she's very gifted and very sports, can do a cartwheel like on a dime. She does the cartwheel, but she is the most clumsiest one in the house, and lots of things have been smashed and shattered and destroyed. But we love her. Anyway, next is who? Did I miss one? No. Next is Aaliyah there. She's got the Cheez-Its. We were munching on Cheez-Its while we were. You got to have food. You go on trips with this many kids, food. The van is destroyed. Ed's a little tired of me vacuuming out the car with his shop vac every few days. We just have to clean it out. So Aaliyah, man, she will talk your head off, talk your arm off. If she comes near you, she just like doesn't care who you are. She'll just talk to you forever and ever and ever. So if there's really anything bad that she says about us, don't believe it, because it's probably true, but don't believe it. Aaliyah, and then Mariah, man. She's got curly hair, an Epperly with curly hair. That's just ridiculous. She got these curls. She is cute, but she is high maintenance. She is very high maintenance. Last and not least, and she's in a nursery, praise God. Carrie says she's in a nursery, praise God. And she is just as cute as can be. And she actually runs the house. She is the king, the queen, the princess, and pretty much we do whatever she says. She tells us when we can sleep and when we can't sleep, and she's like renamed entire family. You know, we have Kiki and Lai and all these names, and then the stupidest thing is that we start adopting these names too and calling each other the names that she has created. So that's the Epperly family. We do have an announcement. We are expecting. We are expecting. It's a girl. It's as big as a house. This girl. We got an X-ray of it, and it was conceived in 1857. So she's going to expect it to arrive on September 16th. So the joke is, yes, we have bought a house. We've looked the world over. Where do the Epperlys want to live? We've looked at Australia and Austria and Switzerland and Germany and some of these wonderful places to live. But we chose Walnut to be... You're laughing. Why? What's so funny? We chose the best place in the world. Walnut, Illinois. Why in the world would we do that? Because of you. It is because of you that you've made the impression on us in this community. This is the place we want to live and raise a family. So, we are going to be Ohioans, and the zip code will change a little bit. We'll live 1 mile east of Ohio. It's on 92. It's the first house on the right when you're driving down 92 out of the four-way stop there. So, yeah, crazy. We are learning all about taxes, and we love being out of the country, you know. No Illinois state taxes. Wasn't that great? But... you know, we decided this is the place to be, even though, you know, the government's totally corrupt. Welcome to Illinois. The gas prices are ridiculous. Oh, so my ministry in Ukraine has been just all kinds of different things. We started out and we were doing children's camps and, you know, preaching and teaching and things like that. But the last portion of our ministry has been mobilization to raise up missionaries within Ukraine, within Russia and Ukraine, and send them out to cross-cultural missionaries. And the thing that's happening in the world today is that these places that were receiving missionaries are now sending out missionaries. And something that I was really creating and doing and producing over there were prayer guides for unreached people groups. I have a new prayer guide that, can I use this little stool over here?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll get out the bag of goodies. I do have chocolate in here somewhere.
Here's one of our latest publications is the Unreached People of Russia. How many people in Russia, different people groups? There are hundreds of different people groups that are indigenous to Russia, and there's about 130 of them that are unreached. And so for years I've been doing research on all of these different people groups, gathering information, finding out where they live, what they believe, are there churches among some of these people groups? And so we put it together. It's available actually online in 4 different languages, but here's an English prayer guide. If anyone's interested, you can pick one up. I've got several. and I'll have them, I'll put them up here somewhere, but you can grab them. They're illustrated. There's a photo of the people group. There's a photo of where they live. There are prayer requests. There are statistics as far as how many people there are. There is prayer requests and some background information about them. So we've done the Unreached Peoples of Ukraine. We've done Unreached Peoples of Russia. We've been doing prayer for the Muslim peoples and prayer for the Hindu peoples, and prayer for some of the Buddhist groups that are in Russia. Can you believe that? There are Buddhists in Russia, of all places. There are half a dozen different Buddhist people groups in Russia. So why are we here, and what will we be doing? Go to the next slide. I'll be working with an organization that's called Operation World. Is anyone familiar with Operation World? Just raise your hand if you've ever heard of. I've got one person. Just you. And Katie. Operation World. I checked your library, and you actually have the book, the prayer guide, in the library. You actually have two copies of the Operation World prayer guide. And some years ago, a missionary started this collection of data of every country of the world to find out, you know, what is happening in each of these countries. Who lives in these places? Is the church there? I brought one of the new editions. This is the latest edition of Operation World. The ones that are in the library are a different color. They're the edition previous to this one. So every country of the world where you can read and see statistics of every region and every country of the world, they give you a little facts sheet, they'll give you a little background information and to pray. And it's set up so that you can go each day, starting with the first letter of the alphabet, and pray for a country each day of the year. So 365 or even more different days to pray for probably maybe one, two, or three different countries. Another publication is the Window on the World. And this is this particular book is directed toward youth, children. And inside of it, has anyone seen the Window on the World prayer guide? If you homeschool, maybe you've seen it, because I think it's part of Sunlight does that. And it's really pretty. It actually has pictures. The other book doesn't have pictures, but there's a photo of the people groups or the country and more information. These are ours, but just to get you familiar with it, I'll let you look at it. I'll just pass this to the front rows, and you can look through it, see what it is. I'm indoctrinating you now already with Operation World. There is a shorter version of the big book, where it's called Pray for the World, and so it's an abridged version of the big thick book. And so if you just want to put this like on your near your bedside or wherever you pray on your table, anywhere you can just pick it up. Maybe you see something on the news about some country, and you feel like, man, how do I pray for this country? You can just refer to this, and it'll give you ideas, and it'll give you actual prayer requests, how to pray for these places. So here's these. I love to have these back. But you can buy them. You can go to Amazon.com and buy these books. So, I've got some chocolate up here. Now, We have a little quiz. Can anyone here tell me what did Kyle preach about last time he was here as a missionary presenting? And I see one hand. I saw Troy is kind of raising his hand. We can share this. We got to open it up, and we got little sections. This chocolate is from Ukraine. It's not been purchased in the United States. It is really good chocolate. Really, isn't it good? Yes, it is. We were at IKEA yesterday, and just thought we were just like right back in Europe, because the entire place was filled with non-Americans, immigrants, people from every country of the world. We thought we were at the airport or something. There were Chinese. We heard like three groups of speaking Russian, and they're talking about whatever furniture they wanted to buy or something, and we could overhear them speaking Russian. And it's like, oh yeah, feel more like at home. So, go ahead. I saw. What was it that Kyle preached about last night? I preached more than once, didn't I? I preached more than once. Yeah, I did speak about those things. You're right. But I'm looking for a different answer. You get one small piece of chocolate. Troy, what was it that I... You got notes there or something? I did. I think that was what... were you even here when I... But you're going to guess anyway. Go ahead.
Yes. You preached about something.
Oh! Good answer. Buzz. I don't think anybody got it right.
I just did.
Diane Nelson already told me what it was, but is she not here? He says, Kyle, I know what, if you're bringing chocolate again, I know what you preached on. Well, we'll just have some little nibbles. But, Carrie, what did I preach on last time? She wasn't even here. She was probably chasing babies. Nice, Nash. She doesn't know. Oh, my gosh, this is really going to help destroy my whole message. I preached on the Great Commission. The Great Commission. What in the world is the Great Commission? Where do you even find it? Maybe somebody can tell me that. Where do you find... Oh, no, they already gave the answers. The guy with the slides has just answered that question. Where do you find the Great Commission? Yes. Which one do you think of first, Nathan? There's the Mark passages right there. Matthew, does anyone have that memorized? Matthew 28. Oh, we went back. We can go back to the other one. Matthew 20. Can anyone quote it? You can get half of this candy bar. Without looking. Therefore... Mm-hmm. You can share a little bit with your husband, but I think you got it. Well, I'm going to hang on to this, though, until the message is over. Yes, very good. Therefore, go and make disciples. Five times we see this in the New Testament. In Matthew, in Mark, Luke, John, and in Acts 1:8. And each one of them kind of focuses a little bit different perspective. You know, author gives a different perspective of the Great Commission in each of those passages. And every missionary is going to refer to the Great Commission as to what their commission was. What do we do? What was it that Jesus said to his disciples right before he ascended into heaven? The last, you know, command to do, to go and make disciples of all nations. But how many times did the New Testament writers like Paul and Peter and James and Timothy and Titus, how many times did they quote these words of go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? How many times? Any guesses? Zero. Never, ever. So I guess it wasn't important, right? Why didn't Paul, you know, quote Jesus in these words? Why didn't Peter, who was there and heard it, why didn't he give it as a reference or even speak about it? We're going to try to answer that question. Why? What's the reason the apostles did not see the Great Commission as having its origin? And Jesus, it didn't have his origin. Because Jesus didn't invent it. Jesus just repeated it. The Great Commission goes back to Abraham. So next slide. Jesus didn't give the Great Commission. He repeated it. This has been something the Jews, the people of Israel, knew about long before Jesus even said these words, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. So as we see in Peter saying in Acts 3:25. Let's look at Acts 3:25. I have my paper Bible here, which I love because I can touch it, I can turn the pages, I can smell it. In Acts 3, verse 25, I can have a hard time reading it because of my eyesight, but it says, God, having raised up offspring of all peoples on earth, will be blessed. So all the nations, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. He's actually quoting Abraham in this passage. He's going back to Abraham because they knew that a Great Commission didn't begin with Jesus 2,000 years ago. Great Commission actually began with Abraham. The author of Hebrews, if you were in Ukraine, you wouldn't say the author of Hebrews. We say that in America. In Ukraine, they just go ahead and say Paul. They always say that Paul was the author of Hebrews. But we say in America, the author of Hebrews, because no one has really decided who the author is. In Hebrews, Paul says, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. That Abraham would be a blessing to all the other nations of the world. In Hebrews, when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. So instead of quoting Jesus, they quoted the Hebrew scriptures that they knew, that Abraham was the first missionary that God sent out to the other nations. So the Great Commission is found in Genesis chapter 12. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, way back in the beginning. Genesis Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All the different tribes, all the different nations, every tongue, nations, people group would be blessed through Abraham. So the Great Commission to reach the nations, its foundation is right here in Genesis with Abraham. So what happened in the beginning? Let's go even further back. What happens? God creates man. He creates Adam and Eve. And things were pretty nice. They were having children. And God said to them in Genesis 1, 28, God said, he blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Be fruitful and multiply. Have 7 children. He probably had a whole lot more. He lived more than 1,000 years, so he probably did better than Kyle. That was the command to fill the, wow, we're going all over. That was the command to fill the earth. And we wonder, what is God's purpose for me? What is God's purpose for us as a church, as a Christian? What does he have for me to be doing? In the whole scheme of things, it all begins with go and fill the earth. Why did he want man to fill the earth? Man, who was created in the image of God, who was a reflection of God himself, was to fulfill the earth and to fill his earth with his glory, with his image. That was the commandment to begin with. That was plan A, was to go and fill the earth, subdue the earth, and fill it with me, my image, to glorify the entire world in different areas of the world, every corner of the world. But how did they do? It doesn't take us long until we get to the third chapter, we find out that man sinned. And the command was broken, the relationship with God was broken. And then we even see later on with how man did afterward, even this into Noah in his day. And God just says, we're going to start with a clean slate here. It's kind of getting messy. We are going to destroy all of man except Noah and his family. And he gives the commandment again to Noah to fill the earth and to be fruitful and multiply. We see that in chapter 9 of Genesis. He gives the command again. And God's desire from the beginning was that mankind would worship him all over the world in different ways, in diverse ways. However, because of sin, every inclination in their hearts was evil in man. So how did Noah's people do even after that? They split off a little bit, but we read later on that the whole earth doesn't get filled. In Genesis 11, we see, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech, As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. So what story are we getting to now? You can go to the next slide. Or did we go past? Yeah, the Tower of Babel. There was, at that time, there was just one language. In Ukraine, we would say, praise God. That'd be great if they all had English, you know, because that's the best language. So we spent a good 2 years in intense language study to learn Russian. But I really didn't learn it for another 7, because it's a very difficult language, very complex language. So somebody ruined it. Basically, man ruined the whole thing. And one language was turned into 70, more than 70 different languages. And we see that in Genesis 11, 7 through 9. And they got together. They said, come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over all the earth. And they stopped building the city. They stopped building this Tower of Babel. So now we have a language problem. How are we going to reach all these different language groups, all these different people groups? That is something the missionaries have been wondering how to working to get the scriptures in different languages so that you can preach and reach these people. So next slide to Abraham, I think, yes, the missionary people. And he told Abraham to go, leave your country, your people, your father's household, to a place I will show you. So he didn't even know where it was going. He was going. God just said, take that first step and start heading out of your city, out of your home, to a place I will show you. And he said, I'm going to put you there for 3 years, and you're going to come back. No, he didn't. He didn't even say how long he was supposed to be gone. Where he was exactly going, this is the faith that Abraham needed in order to go from where he was. You know, most of us want to know where it is. What's the plan? Where am I going? Where will I be staying? I want to know so that I can actually go. It's kind of like trying to go to Europe without a GPS or a map of any kind. We had no map. Last year, about this time, we were touring Europe, and I'm kind of a low-tech guy. I have a flip phone today where you don't have internet, and you don't have maps, and you don't have all that stuff. And that's kind of how I like it. But for some stupid reason, we went to Europe without a map. And we were staying in Germany, and I said, let's go see France. France was just over the river. And the reason we were going to France was to go to IKEA, wasn't it? Again, there we were in IKEA and wondering why our debit card wasn't working. Because we forgot that we were going to go cross the border into France and purchase some things. And we got there and it wouldn't work. It's like, oh, we forgot to tell the bank we'd be in France. So our card wasn't working. And then Carrie had some different currencies because we were in Czech Republic, we were in Germany, we were in Austria, we were in Poland. And do you take these? It was called the Euro. And we didn't even understand. It's like, thank God they do take euros in France. And they do speak French in France. It's just crazy. They would say bonjour, and they would say these French words that are really cute we see in movies, and it's like, you're serious, aren't you? they it sounded so sweet, but we, you know, bonjour. It's like, oh, what does that mean? But it sounds so cute. So we left IKEA, and I got on some road, and they have these beautiful interstates there, and I was driving not knowing where I was going, And you would not believe the things that will come out of your mouth when you are in a situation like that. You know, we say, what happens over there? You got to stay. We're not going to talk about it, what we said. But I'm driving down the road, and it says, Paris, that way. And I was like, I'm going to Paris? Paris is the wrong way. I want to go back to Germany. So we were driving mile after mile or kilometer after kilometer, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, we are going to Paris. And I don't want to go to Paris. Where am I? Where are we? We eventually did get back home to where we were staying in Germany. But, man, if you go to Europe, bring a map. Yeah. Have GPS. The hostess that was hosting us says, Kyle, we got to get you some kind of navigation here. You're not doing so well. So unlike Abraham, we would really like to know where it is that we're going. And I think I better speed it up here because I'm about out of time. Very quickly, these passages, I'll just read them. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. That's Genesis 18. Again, we see the same thing. Again, to Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed. So we hear that again and again. All nations will be blessed through Abraham. It's actually mentioned more than 1,600 times in the Old Testament, in the scriptures, that Abraham is being blessed by God so that he can bless other nations, which means that God, you have the message, you know the God, the Creator. It is your job to share that to other people of the world. And then to Isaac in Genesis 26. And to Isaac, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed. So the son of Abraham. And then Jacob even. And Jacob, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring, Genesis 28. It's no coincidence. For the rest of Scripture, God will identify himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because of this commission, because of this commandment that he's giving to Abraham. So when Jesus speaks in Matthew 8:11, he speaks about Abraham. And Jesus says, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, and I will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Next slide, slide 9. Go to the next one. David. Nathan preached about David recently. And why did he do all this, you know, to take down Goliath? He even talks about a missionary type of command or reason why he defeated this giant. We see this in 1 Samuel 17. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike down and cut off your head. Oh boy, we heard all about the head, didn't we? I love that. I've never heard Golgotha as the place of the skull. Perhaps it was Goliath's head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth and the whole world. This is why he did it. So that the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. As an example to the entire world. Next slide. In the kings and the prophets, we also see that that verse. Oh, I know this verse. Has anyone seen this verse before? Be still and know that I am God. You'll see it maybe on the side of a church wall or some places. But usually there's three dots after that phrase, dot, dot, dot. What are the three dots there for? The three dots are there for because that's not the entire verse. There's more to it than that. So, next slide. Let's read the entire passage. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will exalt the earth. You never see the entire verse ever because it's a missionary passage. It's all about God being known throughout all the earth among the nations of the earth. And that happens quite a bit. Next slide. Even in the Psalms, we see several different passages that are usually only partially used, but if you look at the entire verse, you'll see that it is actually about missions. All Psalm 22, all the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. The next one. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. God our God will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. I always saw just the first part of that passage. A lot of it's used in the services in the Catholic and Lutheran churches, and I grew up a Lutheran, so I'd always hear this. And the pastor would step up and he would say, may God be gracious to you and make his face shine upon you. In Psalm 86, all the nations you have made will come and worship you. O Lord, they will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Next slide. And in David's son, Solomon, when he created the temple, he prayed this prayer. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people, Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name, in your mighty hand, in your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and do whatever a foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you. So the original temple was meant for all the nations, as a house of prayer for all the nations. But what did Israel do? They put out these laws that you can't even go into the temple. There was even a barricade that they had made, and signs posted where if you cross here, you will be put to death if you're not a Jew. But the original intention was for Israel to reach the nations. Next slide. So God sends his son Jesus. And this man who saw the baby, and he knows the plan of Abraham. His name is Simon, and he sees the baby, and he raises him up and says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people is Israel. So Jesus was sent not just to Israel, but all the nations of the earth. So his plan from the beginning and all the way from Genesis through to Revelation, we see this same commission of reaching every nation. Its foundation is with Abraham, and it goes through into the New Testament. And we'll even see, as Paul states, go to the next slide, his goal as he was traveling throughout the Roman Empire and further places was that his ambition was to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. So he wanted to go throughout the world where Christ was not known. And we also see in 1 John, the words of John, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The purpose of God has for you and me is to fill the earth with his glory, to proclaim Jesus, the Son of God, to make God be glorified and known throughout all the nations of the earth. And again, we see at the very end in Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. So from the beginning, we see one book, one story. This book was actually written so that we would understand what his purpose was for us and how he would save us and save every nation. And we see at the very culmination of this world that every people from every tribe, nation, and tongue would be reached, would be there worshiping God. As you saw the slide, the video just before I came up, there's already about 7,000 people groups where there's no church, where there is no, maybe there's no scripture in their language, that have never even heard the name of Jesus. So it's not done. I appreciate Eldon was say, you can stay here and serve, but you can also not stay here and go to a strange place where people have never seen an American before, and they would love you. Boy, when you're in a different country and they find out you're from America, they either hate you or love you, but you are quite the attention getter, especially if you have seven children. They're all just going, are they all yours? You know, do you have five children? I say, no, I don't have five. I have seven. And then they go, and that usually ends the conversation right there. But when you're out in a different place, you're usually, people are drawn to you. And when people are drawn to you, you can have conversations with them about anything. Usually they ask, is things better in America than they are here? But you can also talk about a lot of other things. So, come and see me, or come up here if you are interested in one of these prayer guides. If the books have gone throughout, if you have one, do you hold it up? I was wondering if they made it to the back. Oh, there, it's made it to the back of the church. Great. So I'll get those back from you. Thank you for being you and letting us come to live among you and make our home here. So thank you. And I went way over. So Nathan's going to say, let's go home now. Nathan's going to come up and close this.
Thank you, Kyle. Let's stand. Let's stand and let's close in prayer. I'm pretty sure there's snacks back here. We invite you to head back for some snacks. And after we pray and dismiss, I will invite the worship team to come up and we'll play some music as we go. So let's pray. Father, I do thank you so much for today. Father, I thank you for how you have been at work in Katy, in Mexico. Father, I thank you for how you have been at work in the Epperlys, in Ukraine, and now here. Father, I thank you for how you were at work in Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Solomon, and our Lord Jesus, and Paul, and even us. Father, to take your glory to every corner of this earth. Lord, I thank you for the reminder of why we are here and what we are called to. And so I pray that you would give us courage to speak to our neighbors. Father, to give us courage to speak to those that we know in our families and beyond. And Lord, remind us of the need of those unreached people groups, some that are far away and some that are closer than we think. Father, because we all need to know about you. We all need to know about what you have done through your Son to reconcile the relationship that was broken all the way back to Adam. And Father, as we look forward to that day when we stand in glory and we say, yes, your Son is worthy to open that scroll, and as we're surrounded by witnesses from all nations. So Father, thank you again for this morning, and dismiss us now in your love, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.